I'm so glad you're here. I was here before y'all got here this morning. I know what it's like to be in this room when it's empty. It's more fun like this right here. And Happy New Year to everybody. What's it mean when you say Happy New Year? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean when you say Happy New Year? Now listen, I already had four other people say things at this point right here in the early service. So now you got pressure on you. What does it mean when you say Happy New Year?
Be happy.
Be happy. Yeah. You're older. Yeah, there you go.
Enjoy it.
What was that?
Find joy in it.
Find joy in it, yeah. Get to start the new year over. Somebody said blessing or something. Who said blessing? Somebody said blessing. Happy blessings? Oh, count your blessings. They should write a song about that. Oh, maybe they did. I forgot. Yeah.
Getting closer to God.
How many of you have had a lot of people already tell you Happy New Year this year? Yeah, I have too. You know, and people have said Happy New Year. I was thinking about this week, and I thought, you know, probably my guess would be when people say Happy New Year, is they're probably giving you a verbal blessing that your problems are behind you and you have blessing in the future. I'll take that. I don't know about you, but I'll take that. You know, maybe people are saying that they want to see you prosper this year in every area of your life, and that's been my prayer already for our church family this year, is that you would grow this year in your spiritual life, that you would grow in your family. And I don't mean having more kids. That's not what I mean by that whenever I say growing in your family. But if some of you want more kids, then we'll pray that for you too. But growing in your relationships with your family, growing in your area of finances and all these different areas. How many of you know God wants his blessing to rest upon your lives? He does, doesn't he? And I think it's important. And so, you know, every year people stay up later than usual to see the old year go out and the new year come in. I was in bed because my wife made me go to bed at 9:30 on New Year's Eve. She actually asked me, "Are you serious? You're going to bed right now?" And I go, "Yes." Listen, people like me need their beauty sleep, you know, worse than others do. You know what I'm saying? And I went to sleep and I was awakened at midnight. I don't know if people were like shooting off guns or whether it was fireworks or what it was, but it woke me up. And I go, "Oh, it's just that." And I went back to sleep, you know. But I think it's always interesting on the new year because the optimists will say this: they stay up until midnight to see the new year in. The pessimist always stays up to make sure that the old year leaves. So you have to ask yourself which category you fit in this year for those different things. But I think that probably all of us would probably be good if we spent a little bit of time just trying to reevaluate last year, the old year going out, and this new year coming in. Because I think that sometimes we have some questions that we can ask ourselves, and I think that it's important that we ask ourselves these questions. What do I want to see happen in my life this year in 2019? You know, what do you want to see happen in your life in 2019? You know, what goals do I want to set for this year? What goals do you want to set for this year? What things do I want to see change in my life? Because I think all of us can probably agree this morning that there's some things that we would rather not carry with us into 2019. There's probably some things that we'd like to change. So when we think about this, we think about what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says to us this morning. And the Apostle Paul said it like this. He's telling us that if we are in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself. Now, we're going to talk about that a little deeper in just a few moments, but another question we might ask ourselves is, what is my attitude going to be going into this new year? How many of you know our attitude has a big part to play in all of this, doesn't it? It has a big part to play in all of it. Another question that we could ask ourselves is that, and am I going to carry those old things? Am I going to carry that old attitude? Well, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, in the Good News Translation, it says this: be careful how you think, for your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, let me say that one more time. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. I think some people are looking at 2019 and they look at it and they say, if things continue to be the way that it was last year, there's not a lot of hope. I'm not facing a lot of these different things. As people that believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I think that we have to remember that we have all the resources of heaven available to us in an amazing new year. Because God is with us, amen? And I think it's important for us to think that. So every year offers us a chance at a new beginning. It offers us new hope. And when I say that this morning, when I say that it offers us new hope, I want to ask us, but how many of us really believe that? See, we have to believe that, and we have to trust that God's going to do that in our lives to put ourselves in a position to receive from the Lord. Because I think most people look forward to a new year for a new start, but at the same time, if we're not careful, we can carry the old hurts, habits, and hang-ups right into the new year with us, right? Reminds me of a story that I heard the other day about a wife who comes into the bathroom and she sees her husband standing on the bathroom scales. He's got his stomach sucked in. And he's looking down and she looks at him and says, I hope you know that sucking your belly in like that isn't going to help at all. And he says, yes, it is, because if I don't, I can't see the numbers. Because every person makes resolutions, right? I mean, we're saying things like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit doing this. I need to start doing this. I need to, you know, and we look at all those things. And I had one person say to me one time about New Year's resolutions. They said, yeah, I thought about it. I laughed about it. And then I forgot about it, you know. And it happens too often that way, doesn't it? You know, but I really believe that if we are followers of Christ, that God's got some things for us. And resolutions, I think, and you read, and they do studies about this all the time, but resolutions, I saw this on the news the other night. They were interviewing some guy that was a manager of a fitness club in Central Oregon, and he said that we always, in the first part of the year, have a bunch of people sign up, and he says, and by the time that it gets to the end of January, most of them are gone. You know, and resolutions are like that, you know, and I think it's important. Reminding me of another story that I heard the other day about a little boy who asked his father what his New Year's resolution was going to be. And the father says, you know, son, this year I'm going to do everything I can that's possible to make your mom happy. The little boy then asks his mom the same question, and she says, you know, son, I'm going to do everything I can this year to remind your father about his resolution. Because here's what you and I all know, that our attitude is important, because if we don't believe anything will change in 2019, can I tell you? It won't. If you don't believe it will, it won't. Remember again what I just read to you in Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. If you do nothing different, you'll see nothing different. And sometimes we need to be reminded, and I want you to hear this from me loud and clear this morning, that whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through, whatever we left in 2018 and whatever we're moving into in 2019, if we put God in the equation, if we put God in the situation, can I tell you, God can do miracles in your life this year. He can do miracles in your life this year. You know, and so we have to look at it from that standpoint. You know, as we were going through December, and we were talking about Joseph, and we were talking about Mary, and we were talking about the shepherds, and all of them, you know, the word from the Lord to every one of those was, don't be afraid, to fear not. And the thing that was important is everything that we talked about in those messages leading up to that, the scripture said this, that what is impossible for man is not impossible for God. And friends, we have to trust God in that. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight, because the things that we look at that we think there's no way that those things can be fixed, that there's no way that we can ever overcome that, that there's no way any of these things can transpire. Friends, listen, when we put God in the middle of that, when we put God in the equation, all things are possible with God. Wow, you guys are scaring me today. We have to be reminded God makes all the difference, doesn't he? He does, yeah. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, and this is Paul writing. Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved all of these things, and I'm talking about going into this new year. We can look at the scripture. We can take these things and appropriate them to ourselves this morning. We can look at it and say, I haven't already achieved all these things. I haven't reached any kind of perfection. But here's what Paul says. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, and I love this scripture. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us home. I think that is so vitally important to us. Friends, listen, we got to lay it back there. We got to leave that stuff in the past. We talked about this last week. Last week in this service right here, it was amazing how many people came forward, left stuff at the altar, left stuff at the feet of Jesus, left stuff at the foot of the cross, and said, I'm not going to carry this stuff with me into 2019. And I want to encourage you, don't pick that stuff back up. Friends, what happens so many times is we ask the Lord and we say, God, take this. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. We lay these things down, and then when we get done praying, we reach out and we put it right in our back pocket again before we walk out of the room. Don't do that. Give those things to Jesus and let the Lord work at it. Because, friends, when we put Jesus in the equation, all things are possible with God. Here's what I know, that if you're trying to fix things yourself, or you're trying to find somebody else to blame for whatever the problem is that you're facing in life, we're in trouble. We are, seriously. 2019 will have renewed purpose if we can understand that without the Lord, it's just another year, it's just another resolution, it's just another goal, but it won't be a new life. And God wants us to have new life. He wants us to breathe new life. And I believe that's what his word for us is today. So if we think about it, I think that a lot of people are looking for the same things. They're looking for hope. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace in their lives. And friends, listen, all three of those, unless we have Christ at the center of our life, none of the three of those things are ever going to come to pass for us. Because we can't find joy in the things that we do. We have to have the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our hope is in Christ. And the peace that we have, you know, Jesus said it like this, I don't give you peace like the world gives, I give you my peace. And friends, the peace that God gives us passes all understanding. And so I think it's really important that we understand that. It's the same way as we're looking for hope, because hope is always there because we know the end of the book. You know, the Lord's word tells us that one of these days we're going to spend eternity with him if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and I think it's very important. So all three of these things are based upon God's wisdom, upon God's strength, that God will guide us through this journey that we call life, and he will be faithful to his promises to us. He's faithful, isn't he? Well, I mentioned attitude a moment ago, and I think attitude is a whole sermon on its own. But coming into this new year without an attitude change, friends, listen. Christ needs to be first in your life, or life offers little hope. It really does. I mean, our hope is in Jesus Christ, and I think about it, you know, I'm kind of a news junkie. I like watching the news, but I got to be honest with you. You know, the news just drives me crazy right now, but I can't stay away from it. You know, it's just like, now what are they doing? You know, and I mean, you know what it's like. And when I say they, I mean all of them. You know, all of them. It's just like, what are they doing now, you know? And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I wish they would just leave us alone, you know? I don't know. Sometimes I see these things, you know, that says, here's this cabin by the lake, you know, and, you know, would you like to just spend the rest of your life right there, you know? And everybody, there's probably, I'll bet there's less than five people in this room that could do it for the rest of your life. What do you think? Like to try it. But you know what? God's created us to be with people. God's created us to be around each other, and we need each other. You know, the Lord has brought us together because we need each other. Well, let me look at these passages of scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The key word here is in Christ. He does not say that people who know of Christ. It says that those that are in Christ, because being in Christ is important for all of us. What does it mean to be in Christ? It's that intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ himself. It's to know Jesus. It's to be in Christ. It's to know who he is. And I know that that's a big territory and it's a big conversation, but let me just give you six things this morning. And these are just right at the beginning of my message too. So when I get on with these six, we're still not done yet, okay? I always hate giving numbers because it's like, oh, when he gets to six, we're out. No. What does it mean to be in Jesus? To be in Jesus, you were given grace before the world was created. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, he gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. To be in Christ means that you were chosen by God before the creation of the world. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, God chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. In Christ, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. In Romans 8:38 and 39, it says this, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. To be in Jesus Christ means that we were redeemed and forgiven from our sins. In Ephesians 1:7, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins or our trespasses. In Christ Jesus, you are justified before God and are the righteousness of God in Christ that he has imputed to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, we have become a new creation, and we become sons and daughters of God. If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is past, behold, the new has come. In Galatians 3:26, it says, in Christ Jesus, we are all sons of God through faith. So here's what I know this morning and what most of us know, is that most people today know Christ, but how many of us are really willing to serve him? How many of us are willing to live in Christ? I'm not just talking about know about him, but really live in Christ the way we just shared those scriptures. Because here's what happens. All of us want to control our lives. Now, this is where it gets a little pushy. And I don't mean me pushing on you. I mean you pushing on me. Because we don't like talking about this stuff right here. I've been your pastor for a long time, and I've told you this. We've got little kids. We've got grandchildren around our house a lot. And our youngest right now is, he's 10 months. And he's a sweetheart. And my older granddaughter, his older sister, is always saying, oh, did you hear him? He said, Dada. Or he said, Mama. I haven't heard any of that. I've raised kids, and in our raising kid days, I was always thinking, he's going to say Dada before he says Mama. And I learned that most kids' first word has nothing to do with Mama or Dada. Their first word is no. It is no, you know. And can I tell you something? That opening verbiage from that child, you're going to deal with that for the rest of their lives. Now, I want you to think about that with us when God's trying to talk to us. I've got two friends in this room today. Thank you for saying that. It's the same way when God's speaking to us. He's wanting to know if we're going to say yes to him or whether we're going to say no to him. Okay? So to know Christ according to our flesh would mean that we would say no. To be in Christ according to the Spirit of God would be to say, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my life. I know that you know how to run it better than me. I give it to you and help me with everything that's in me to follow you and to follow what your purposes are for my life from now on. See, that's really a key to all this. So the renewal process that Jesus begins in our life, because we know what the Word says. The Word says in Romans that if we confess our sin, my mind just went blank. I'll have it in just a second. With our words, we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and then we confess to him that he is our Lord, and if we believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that we'll be saved, okay? So we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. When that happens, and when we make that statement, when we invite Jesus to come into our heart, there's a renewal process that begins to take place at that time. There's a renewal process. Now, friends, when we talk about renewal, let me just say this. Another word for renewal is the word, would be a word like restoration. And we know what it all, we all know what it is to restore something. All of us have had old things that we've restored. Maybe it's an old chest or something that you've had that you wanted to restore, that you wanted to refurbish. So what do? It takes some work, doesn't it? It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time. It takes a lot of elbow grease. It takes certain materials and different things. Well, God works in the restoring of our lives when we make a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he begins this renewal process in us. And friends, the quicker that we are renewed depends on how fast we say yes to what God is trying to do in our lives. But many times, just like the ending of the year and the start of a new one, those that are in Christ should be leaving their old ways and letting Jesus walk us into a new way of life. We need to leave our old ways behind with the hope that the redemptive change that God brings and wants in us is available to our lives, because it is available to us. So when we pray and we ask God to take things away that we know are harmful to us, yet instead of leaving them at the feet of Jesus, we pick them back up by the time that we're done praying. Don't do that anymore. Leave those at the feet of Jesus. So in this new year, I want to suggest a few things that probably and possibly all of us could leave behind. Let's look at a couple of these. Why don't we leave behind resentment? And why don't we leave behind worry? Why don't we leave behind all of our failures? Why don't we leave behind our unforgiveness? Why don't we leave behind our hurts? Because when we leave those things behind and we're concentrating and we're focusing on allowing our lives to be open to Christ, to allow him to work in us, as the scripture says, to will and to do of his good pleasure, there are a couple of things that need to be on our mind. And the first one is this, is what am I going to do about the things that need to be changed in my life? What am I going to do about it? You know, friends, listen. I think this is so important that we have to make a decision that I'm going to change some things in my life this year. If we're going to grow in God's grace, if we're going to grow in our relationship, if we're going to grow in our commitment to Jesus, if we're going to give him more of our heart, some things are going to have to change. I don't know what that is for you. I know what it is for me. And friends, what we have to do is we have to allow God to show us those things, and we have to freely give those to him, and we have to decide to make that change. What am I going to do about the things that need to be changed in my life? Now, here's what we all know this morning, that we all realize that some things can't be changed. And in the things that can't be changed, the Lord will be faithful to show you how to deal with those things through his grace. Now, when I'm talking about that, here's what I mean. Some of you that are in the room this morning have an illness, or you've got some sort of sickness that you're dealing with that you're going to carry into this new year. You're not going to be able to change that unless a miracle of God happens, okay? And you're looking at the guy that believes in miracles. I believe Jesus can today. I believe he can, okay? I believe God's got miracles in store for people in this room this year. Miracles, okay? Some of those things you're not going to be able to change. Some of us have got situations in our life that there's nothing that we're going to be able to do to change those things. And so when we can't change those things, what do? We give them to the Lord, okay? We give them to the Lord, and God will be faithful and will show us how to deal with those things through his great grace. How about leaving our failures behind? Leaving our failures behind. I really believe this with all my heart this morning, that I believe that we only fail when we do nothing. When we do nothing. If we never try. The scripture, and we talked about this last week, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Friends, listen, Christ will help us. Christ will help us. And if you're in Christ this morning, can I just tell you, you're never a failure. God never brings condemnation into our life, and I think that's so important for us to understand. God will bring conviction into our life, but he doesn't bring condemnation. And there's a difference. Conviction is the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I know that's there, but I can help you fix that. Condemnation is the devil saying, you're never going to fix that, you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything, it's going to be this way forever, and there's no hope for you. That's condemnation. And that's not Jesus. The Bible says there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus. Okay? In Christ Jesus. We talk about being in Christ Jesus. So no matter how many setbacks we face, no matter how many things that are in our past, Christ puts you back on your feet. And can I tell you this morning? He thinks you're a winner and he calls you blessed. And that's how he looks at our lives today. Okay? So well, there's that part of it. If we don't, we have to look and say to ourselves, what things need to change in my life? And then I have to ask myself this, and what's my part in that? What's my part in that? Well, I believe our part in that is this very statement right here, and it's in 2 Corinthians 5, down about verse 21. It says, be reconciled to God. Because, friends, when we're reconciled to God, when we've made him our Lord and Savior, when we've opened our heart, when we've given him our life, when we've given him everything, and we say, Lord, I need your help with this, God begins to change things right now. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. Be reconciled to God. When we're reconciled to God, we allow him to be active in our life. We allow him to be in control of our life. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Now listen to this verse. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, friends, here's what I know this morning is that some of you, and I know a lot of you in this room this morning personally, there's a lot of people in this room that in 2018 have been beaten up pretty good this year. It doesn't feel good, does it? But here's what I know is this year doesn't have to be that way. This year doesn't have to be that way. You know, we can give ourselves to the Lord. And so many times we look at it and we think to ourselves, all these things that are happening. And the scripture that I just read is that when we put our trust in God, his mighty power, and he gives us the power over the enemy, that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Now, friends, I want to be careful when I say this, because sometimes everything that happens to us we think is an attack of the devil, and it's not. Okay? We have to be careful with that. Friends, listen, sometimes it's God taking us through. Pastor Brian just said this a while ago, and I don't know if I, you know, sometimes he made this comment that he says, God's going to challenge us this year. Well, I'd kind of like to know in what areas he's going to challenge me this year. You know what I mean? Could you just kind of give me a list, God, right here at the beginning so I know when I see it coming and one thing, another? No, that's not how God works. But friends, sometimes we blame the devil for a lot of things that he never does. And he's probably going, hey, that's a good idea. You know, I should have thought of that, you know? Sometimes it's what Pastor Brian said, it's the Lord challenging us. And you know what he's doing when he's challenging us? He's trying to help us grow. He's trying to mature us. He's trying to put some meat on our spiritual bones. He's trying to get us in shape so that we can serve him. He's trying to put strength into our life so that we know that we can face the challenges that are being tossed at us all the time. We change the things that we can change, and we have to trust God in those unavoidable times to see us through. Because there's sometimes that things happen that we have no control over whatsoever. And it's where we fall on God's mercy and his great grace. Ephesians 5:15 says this, be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So we have to be careful how we live. I want to live my life this year in a way that honors God. And I know you do too. And it's been my prayer for our church. Okay? It's been my prayer for all of us in the room. God, help them to live wise this year. God, give them wisdom and wise discretion. God, help them to know as you're leading them what direction to go. Because the Bible tells us that God helps us in all these things. I'll read you a couple scriptures here in a minute. God helps us in all these things. Friends, listen, when we put God first and we put him as a priority in our life, from the time that we get out of bed in the morning, I trust that God's going to direct my steps and he's going to direct my path and I'm going to follow him, that he's going to lead me and he's going to help me. Right? I pray that for all of us today. So let's just recap real quickly. And now I am almost done. Because, friends, I can't tell you how important it is that our attitude determines what kind of a year you're going to have this year. Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust me? And that's a decision that we're going to have to make. Whether we're going to do things in our own strength or whether we're going to do things in the unlimited power and strength of the Lord and let him determine our outcomes, right? So what part do we play? It's the question I asked earlier. We change the things that we can, but we also know that there are some things that won't change. Trusting God will help us in both of those circumstances. The scripture says, so don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. If you only know of Christ and you're not in Christ, you'll not be able to find out what God's will is for your life. See, God promises to allow us to know his will for our life as we seek him and as we listen to him and what he has for us. What do you think God has for your life this year? Have you asked yourself that question? What do you think God's will is for your life this year? Is it worrying about everything? Is it saturating your mind with all sorts of negative thoughts? Is it having anxiety attacks? Is it being so busy that we can't hear the voice of God or have a devoted time with him every day? Let me suggest this, that early in this part of the year, let's establish our priorities. And friends, listen, it's always to put God first. And you go, I knew you were going to say that, preacher. Because every year we say the same thing. I need to read my Bible more. I need to trust God more. Boy, can I tell you, if we started doing those things that those preachers tell you every year, if you'll do these things, it would help you, it would help you. It's true, right? We have to establish our priorities. We always put God first. God must be a part of your decision-making this year. If you're a Christ follower, you may be asking God for direction in your life. Well, let me give you some good news this morning about that. Proverbs 16:9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So when the Lord determines your steps to go in a different direction than you determined your steps, there's a decision you make, right? Psalm 37, verse 23 says this, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Man. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. We haven't sang this song in a long, long time. But there's this song that goes like this. He danced over me while I was unaware. Can I tell you that, you know, you look at it so many times, and those of you that have children and grandchildren in your life, man, you're proud of them, aren't you? I mean, even when they do dumb things, you know? I mean, even when they do dumb things, you know why you're proud of them? Because they're yours. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just yours, you know? I mean, there's no way they can deny it. They look just like you. They walk just like you. They talk like you talk. They drive like you drive. I mean, all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about, all of it. Nobody can deny that they're yours. And you know, somewhere down on the inside, you're just like, I'm proud of that kid. I know they might have done a couple of dumb things in their life, but I'm proud of them. Well, can I tell you something? The Lord's proud of you today. And I don't want you to ever to forget that. He's proud of you today. Even in the dumb things I've done, yes. Even through the silly things that I've done, the sins I've committed, yes. You know why he's proud of you? Because you're his. He created you. You belong to Him. And friends, here's my encouragement to you today, that we can live this year in a way that tremendously makes Jesus proud of you. And it's not making radical changes in your life. Sometimes it's just making subtle adjustments in your life. And God wants to bless you this year. So if you want to see something happen in your life or in your family this year, we have to have the right attitude to see it happen. We have to put God first. We have to not just know Christ. We have to be in Christ. We have to let Christ control our life. And we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to change what needs to be changed? Are you trusting in the Lord for the things that you cannot change? Are you willing to turn the results over to God so that His promises can be done in your life? So I want to ask you a bunch of what-if questions, and I'm almost done. What if you lived every moment of your life as though God were all around you, because He is? What if you lived your life as though nothing could happen to you that God could not take care of, because He can? What if you really lived your life as though your sins and your failures were gone in the mind of Christ, because they are? What if you lived your life as though the power of the Holy Spirit lived in you and you are walking around in a world created by God, loved by Him, and blessed by His presence, because you are? What if you lived believing that evil did not stand a chance and that it is only a matter of time until it's altogether gone, because it will be? What if you lived as though every person around you was the result of God's will and creation, and that they were made in the likeness of God, because they are? What if you lived as though you were not meant to be alone, but an important part of the family of God, because you need to be in the family? What if you saw the glory of God everywhere and the image of God in every person, because it's there? What if every morning the very sight of God's creation inspired you to worship Him and to live life with deep gratitude and thanksgiving toward God? If you did that, how different would your life be? How different would it be? Because here's what we all know this morning, and I believe we all know, that having a new awareness of God's continual presence and power in your life could literally change your life. And He's doing it every day. So, Lord Jesus, we're thankful for You. And we're thankful for Your power that operates in